And right now, we're happy to be joined by James Coe, who covers the NFL for Yahoo Sports. How's it going, James?
It's going well. How are you guys?
We're doing pretty good. And apparently, the Raiders are doing better than they were yesterday. Antonio Brown finally showed up. But you had that, you're either with us or against us kind of spiel from Mike Mayock. Is this, where's this going next, though? Because we have the helmet issue, and it's still there. Antonio Brown, he's such a historically a good player, but where do you think the Raiders will draw the line as far as how much stuff they're going to take from this guy?
I don't know what to make of it. It's the strangest situation that I think I've ever heard of. I mean, it's an equipment issue here, and Antonio Brown is absolutely losing his mind over it. So I'm not sure. He's been a very eccentric player and a very eccentric person over the last couple of seasons. It's extremely hard to predict and really what moves might happen next because, I mean, who would have ever thought that a helmet issue would be keeping this guy off the field? So I don't know, man. Like I said, it's very difficult to kind of predict what might happen next.
So there's a story out today, James, that the two Super Bowl betting teams that are getting the most bets put down are the Cleveland Browns and the Chicago Bears. Are you buying into the hype? Because we all know the offseason that Cleveland had, and we know the defensive performance that the Bears had last season. Are you buying into the hype for those two teams as Super Bowl favorites?
I'm not. I mean, the Browns, I think, are going to be a playoff team. Look, there would have to be something just astronomically wrong with the team for them not to make the playoffs. They're that good talent-wise. I really believe in Freddie Kitchens. I like their staff as well, their DC and their OC, Todd Monk and Steve Wilks. Look, they have all the pieces in place to be a very good team. But I think what we've seen, too, is I hearken back to the Philadelphia Eagles. Remember when they had the quote-unquote super team? And it just takes time for teams to kind of gel and get to that point. I think they're going to be a good team, but they're also in the AFC. The Steelers are going to be in the mix. The Chargers are going to be in the mix. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to be in the mix. The New England Patriots are going to be in the mix. So are they a favorite to even get to the game? I'm not necessarily sold on that. I think it's an 11-win club. Maybe if things go right, it's 13 wins. But at the very end of the day, it's a good ball club that I think needs to learn how to play together. On the NFC side, the Chicago Bears, look, their defense is phenomenal, astronomically good, but their offense has a lot left to be desired. So I just think that they have a lot of holes on the offensive side. Will they figure it out? You know, theoretically, they've got Matt Nagy who's there to kind of shepherd that ship. So we shall see. But I do think that they have a lot of holes on the offensive side. And the NFC, to me, is absolutely wide open. So, again, the Chicago Bears will certainly be in the mix. Are they a favorite? No.
James, you mentioned a couple of the top contenders there as well with the Patriots and the Chiefs. But do you have a dark horse pick yourself? Is that a team that maybe is not getting all the love right now, but you could see them making a bit of a run?
Yeah, I mentioned the Chargers, and I don't think that they're getting necessarily enough due. I look at their roster, and they're one of the most balanced rosters in the AFC and really in the NFL. I love their offense, with or without Melvin Gordon. I love their offense and their defense, too. Derwin James, I know, is going to miss 3 to 4 months, which is a huge blow, but he will be back. He will be back. And I just love their draft pick, Nasir Adderley. I think their defense is locked and loaded. And when Derwin James comes back, it could be a top five unit in the NFL. Offensively, I think they'll have enough to do some damage. Hunter Henry, remember, coming back from injury. Keenan Allen there. Phillip Rivers has been a longtime staple, has not gotten enough credit for being an elite quarterback. And I certainly think he is in that top tier of quarterbacks in the NFL.
So, James, we've seen a few high-profile holdouts so far in training camp. Of course, Melvin Gordon, as you mentioned, Trent Williams in Washington, as well as Ezekiel Elliott down in Dallas. Now, I know for myself, and I think a lot of other people, I've assumed that the Ezekiel Elliott situation will be resolved and he'll be on the field in week one. But now we have, you know, Jerry Jones coming out, having a little fun with it, saying Zeke who. Elliott's camp not too happy with that. Where are you at with the Elliott holdout right now? Do you think there's any real danger that he misses time for the Cowboys?
I think I I would almost guarantee you he's going to miss games. How many games? I'm not exactly sure. Look, he needs to come back at some point to accrue the time, to accrue that service time. He can't just sit out like we saw with Le'Veon Bell, because Le'Veon Bell was on a franchise tag, remember? So whatever he did, play or not play, he's going to be a free agent. Ezekiel Elliott's not that way. He's still got a couple years left. If he sits out, he'll still have a couple years left on that contract. So he needs to come back, accrue that service time to get a step closer towards free agency, which is what we'll assume would be a big paycheck for him. So I think both sides are motivated to get a deal done, but it's certainly less motivated for the Cowboys side. They've got this guy under contract. He needs to come back to, again, accrue that service time. But I just think Ezekiel will try to preserve his body a little bit like Le'Veon Bell did. And I would, again, be surprised if he didn't miss at least a couple of games.
You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by James Coe, writer for Yahoo Sports and also fantasy guru as well. You can check out his work on Twitter and on Yahoo Sports. James, I want to hit you up with some fantasy questions. How do you deal with Zeke Elliott and Melvin Gordon? They're both holding out. And if you've got a draft in the next couple of weeks, where do you have them? Do you still take them high because at some point they're going to suit up, or do you wait on them a little bit?
You got to wait on them. I mean, there's just too much risk involved there. I don't know what kind of shape Zeke is in. Look, I know he went down to Mexico, apparently lost some weight or whatever it is. But
yeah, I've never gotten fitter in Mexico.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, who goes to Mexico to get skinnier? Like, that doesn't make sense to me. So I don't get that. So I got to see what he looks like in camp, in pads, you know, running behind an offensive line. I just have to see him in action before I believe it. So will he slip out of the first round? I doubt it. But certainly I think before all this holdout talk, he's a locked and loaded top four pick. I just, with all the great players out there, especially at wide receiver, I just don't see how you take this guy before pick 10. And maybe he slips in some drafts, but I don't think he'll get out of the first round. But I think anywhere between 9 and 12 is probably where you'll see Zeke. Melvin Gordon, a different story. You know, I think, again, I do think he's going to miss games as well. And, you know, he's not as talented as Ezekiel Elliott. He doesn't see that as much of volume from the fantasy perspective. So, you know, he'll be a second-round pick somewhere, I think, in the late second round. So, you know, he'll probably go anywhere between pick 15 to pick, you know, 22 or something like that. So I think they're both strong candidates. They will – it would be insane if they miss the entire season. So they will play. How effective will they be? Yet to be determined, but certainly their draft prices fall because of the added risk.
So, James, one of the other big fantasy storylines and football storyline in general, but for me, is the health of Andrew Luck and the mystery surrounding exactly what's going on with the health of Andrew Luck. We know he has the injury history, but if he was fully healthy, you'd expect him to be in that kind of second tier of quarterbacks just behind Patrick Mahomes. With the uncertainty, how wary should fantasy owners be about investing in Andrew Luck?
I don't trust the Colts organization at all. I mean, I trust them 0%. They're doing all the same things that they did when they said he was fine with the shoulder and he ultimately missed the entire season. They're doing the exact same things. They're not telling you what the injury is. They're not telling you what the timeline is. They're saying everything's fine. They're saying he'll suit up by week one, and yet there's no evidence whatsoever that he will suit up by week one. They're doing all the exact same things. And again, fool me once, that's on, you know, whatever the saying is, what the bottom line is.
Let's run that George Bush tape.
Fool me again. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to fool me again.
Don't get fooled again.
So that's exactly right. Look, I think if he was healthy in 100%, he to me would be a quarterback too. I think it's Patrick Mahomes, and then I think it's Andrew Luck. That's how much I love Andrew Luck in that offense, with that head coach, with all those weapons surrounding him. That's how much I love Andrew Luck. But I cannot trust the Colts organization and what they're doing and what they're saying about the Andrew Luck injury right now. I would still take him somewhere. And again, I if you talk to seasoned fantasy players, they're going to wait on quarterback. I think Andrew Luck is a guy that might go 9th, 10th, 11th round because of the injury concerns. And really, I'd probably say that's probably about right for Andrew Luck. You want to take him, you know, anywhere past pick 75, I think, in your standard fantasy draft.
You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by James Coe. You can find him on Twitter, James D. Coe. And one of the things I've seen on your feed there, James, you're not so high on Saquon Barkley this year. What's up with that?
No, I know. And I've gotten a lot of flack for it. He is anticipated to be either the 1.1 or the 1.2. So a top two pick in fantasy this year in like 99% of drafts. No matter what position I'm taking, he'll be gone because I have him ranked outside my top five. And there's a lot of negative things going on in terms of, you know, what we're looking at in his situation. One, I think the Giants' offense is just going to be atrocious. Eli Manning is certainly on his last legs. They've had absolutely no outside wide receivers to speak of. Sterling Shepard, who is a good player, is their top guy. He's dealing with an injury right now as well, and is a slot guy. We're talking about a slot receiver and a quarterback who can't get the ball out. So I think they're going to stack the box considerably. I think opposing defenses would be stupid not to stack the box on literally every single play, man up on the outside. Maybe you go single high safety, but you're never going to see cover two. You're never going to see cover three. There's not going to be that many running lanes available, I think, for Saquon Barkley. This has, to me, all the makings of that 2016 Todd Gurley season where he was trapped behind one of the worst offenses in the NFL. That's just my take.
So, James, for me, every year going into your draft, one of the kind of big swings is if you can hit on a rookie running back who ends up having a big workload. Now, we expect Josh Jacobs, after going in the first round, to be one of the workhorses in Oakland. But other than Jacobs, is there a rookie running back that you're really excited about for fantasy purposes this year?
I mean, probably Darrell Henderson fits that bill out of Memphis, rookie out of Memphis. He's the backup to Todd Gurley. And the knee injury, or the knee issues, rather, for Todd Gurley have been well-publicized, and I think for good reason. So I think Darrell Henderson is a running back that will absolutely get work, regardless of the health of Todd Gurley. And then on top of that, if Todd Gurley were to miss time, if he were to get injured, I think Darrell Henderson catapults into top 20 running back category. So just with the anticipated – you know, volume and projected opportunity, Darrell Henderson to me. And keep in mind, this was one of the most explosive running backs in all of college football last year. Go pop on some of this guy's tape, man. I mean, he can absolutely hit a home run every single time he touches the ball. He's not one of these plotters. So to me, I think Darrell Henderson is certainly someone that's pretty exciting. Actually, what's really funny, his backup in Memphis, Tony Pollard there in Dallas, is going to be, you know, a draft pick that is gone in most everyone's league because, again, of the Zeke holdout. So you'll see Tony Pollard go. You'll see Darrell Henderson go. And I think both those guys certainly are intriguing in terms of rookie running backs.
Speaking of bringing the fire, popping off every time he gets a touch of the ball, that would be you, James Coe, bringing the fire today. Ah. Thank you very much, and we look forward to chatting with you again.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Sportsnet 650.